Let's read together Luke chapter 17, verses 1 through 19. Now, in this first half of the chapter, we have several areas of instruction by our Lord to his disciples concerning Christian service. Let's begin by reading the first two verses. Luke chapter 17, the first two verses. Then he said to his disciples, "It is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea, than that he should offend or stumble one of these little ones." Let's begin our study of this first half of Luke chapter 17 with some background notes. In Luke chapter 16, we saw our Lord's instructions to his disciples concerning the right view and the right use of money. Although this teaching was addressed to the disciples, we saw in verse 14 of chapter 16 that the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, were listening in on what the Lord had to say. And so the Lord turned his attention toward these self-righteous Pharisees and began to rebuke them for their hypocrisy and unbelief. It was in this context that the Lord gave the account of the rich man and Lazarus, clearly denouncing and warning the self-righteous Pharisees who thought that they had it made with God and thought that they were even blessed by God because they were rich. How wrong they were. And certainly self-righteous and self-satisfied people today are denounced and warned in the account of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke chapter 16. Now here in Luke chapter 17, the Lord turns his attention again to the disciples. He addresses them concerning several areas of attitude, lifestyle, and behavior that should characterize servants of the kingdom of God. Again, the Pharisees may have been listening in on what the Lord was teaching his disciples here, because in verses 1 and 2, the verses that we just read, the Lord began talking about how serious it was to stumble or hinder the spiritual growth of little ones. Little, that is, in age, or little in understanding of the things of God. Certainly the Pharisees were guilty of this sin. Remember back in Luke chapter 11 and verse 52, the Lord denounced the self-righteous scribes and Pharisees for not only refusing to enter the kingdom themselves, but for hindering those who were entering in. I'm reading Luke chapter 11, verse 52. "Woe to you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter in yourselves, and those who were entering in, you hindered." Luke 11:52. Let's look a little further now at this sin of stumbling under our first doctrinal point for this first half of Luke chapter 17. So doctrinal point number one, faithful Christian servants do not stumble little ones. Faithful Christian servants do not stumble little ones. Verses 1 and 2 again. Then Jesus said to the disciples, "It is impossible that no offenses or stumbling blocks should come. But woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend or stumble one of these little ones." The Lord Jesus said that because of sin in this world, there are going to be stumbling blocks. A stumbling block is something that hinders the spiritual growth of a little one. A little one could be a child or anyone who is young or weak in the Christian faith. To stumble such a one is a serious sin. The Lord Jesus said that it would be better if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea, than that he should stumble one of these little ones. That is, it would be better if that person were dead. Now, if you've ever seen a millstone of the first century, there's no doubt here that the Lord meant dead. And that would include believers. Better to die and go home to heaven early than stumble young believers. Question. How do you stumble or hinder the spiritual growth of a little one? Answer, by your lifestyle, and by what you do and by what you say. Do you practice what you preach? What do you watch on TV? Where do you go on vacation? How do you talk about other Christians? Do you tell the truth at all times? Where do you draw the line on jokes you tell or laugh at? Are you above reproach in everything having to do with money? Faithful Christian servants do not stumble little ones. Doctrinal point number two. Faithful Christian servants are willing to forgive. Faithful Christian servants are willing to forgive. Verses 3 through 6. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you, saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. And the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. What do you do as a Christian if a fellow believer sins against you in some way, maybe even slanders you? Well, the scriptures give us directions as to the steps we should take. First of all, we should make sure that we have the facts straight. It's easy to wrongly judge a person's motives. That's why the Lord said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, judge not that you be not judged. That is, don't judge a person's motives. And then don't nitpick. The Lord said to make sure you get the plank out of your own eye first before you try to help get the specks of sawdust out of the eyes of your fellow believers. Matthew chapter 7, verses 3 through 5. Now, one more directive before you go to rebuke your fellow believer for sinning against you is right here in Luke chapter 17, verse 3. Be willing to forgive. Even if that person sins against you many times. Verse 4. Some Christians never take this step. They would rather take revenge than forgive. We must be willing to forgive any sin if the offender repents. Now Matthew 18, verses 15 through 17, covers the further steps that we take if the one who sinned against us does not repent, or continues to sin against us, or is unwilling to accept our forgiveness. These steps involve the help of other believers as well as the discipline of the church. Read Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 17 in this connection. In fact, let's read those verses right now. Matthew chapter 18, beginning at verse 15. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. That is, no fellowship. Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 17. Being willing to forgive takes a lot of faith. No wonder the disciples said what we've all prayed many times, Lord, increase our faith. Verse 5. The Lord's response to the disciples here in verse 6 about the small mustard seed-like faith and uprooting the deeply rooted mulberry tree was essentially, it's not the amount of faith that counts, but the quality of the faith. Even a small, genuine faith will enable the believer to be willing to forgive fellow believers. Faithful Christian servants are willing to forgive. Doctrinal point number three. Faithful Christian servants do not serve for reward. Faithful Christian servants do not serve for reward. Verses 7 through 10. Luke chapter 17, beginning now at verse 7. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all these things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. Question, why do you serve the Lord? Now, if your answer is for reward, it is the wrong answer. The right answer, in view of our Lord's teaching here, is that we serve because it is our duty to serve as faithful Christian servants. Now, it's not that the Lord will not reward us for our Christian service. He will reward us, even more than we deserve. And there are many scriptures to back up this truth. But the point here is that the Lord is under no obligation to reward us for doing what is right. That should be normal for us, including being willing to forgive fellow believers and not stumble little ones. Why, this is just part of our normal duty as faithful servants. Faithful Christian servants do not serve for reward. Now, what about practical application from this first half of Luke chapter 17? Let's take a Samaritan stance. Now, by stance here, we don't mean a runner's stance before the starting gun or a football player's stance before the ball is hiked. No, we mean the thankful stance or attitude we should have, like the cleansed Samaritan leper in verses 11 through 19. Let's read these verses. Luke chapter 17, beginning now at verse 11. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Samaritans, remember, were considered outcasts and foreigners and lower citizens by the Jewish people. Why did this cleansed Samaritan leper return to thank the Lord? Answer, because he more fully realized the grace and mercy that had been shown to him as a Samaritan. All 10 lepers showed faith because all obeyed the Lord and went to the priests as the law commanded, and all were cleansed as they obeyed. But only the Samaritan returned to thank the Lord. The Lord asked, where are the 9? The Lord is still asking, where are the 9? As believers, we've been saved by faith. Have we returned to really thank the Lord for his grace and mercy? Let's take a Samaritan stance.